Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following program may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
It's the Saturday morning cereal.
They're great.
What's your emergency?
I wish we had some Cap'n Crunch.
Death waited in the dark at the hands of a man they called the Night Stalker.
Always have to be Lucky Charms.
Yahoo! I'm cuckoo!
Theodore Robert Bundy, you are charged 2 counts burglary, 2 counts murder in the first degree, 3 counts attempted murder in the first degree.
I'll plead not guilty right now.
The refrigerator where Jeffrey Dahmer kept body parts.
They're magically delicious.
I am prepared to die if you say it is necessary.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Silly rabbit.
You know, we got an email from Max, who has been a listener of Saturday Morning Cereal forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Max actually wrote in just saying how much he has really been enjoying your historical crime. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's not what we're doing this week.
Good chat, everyone.
Actually, I got a couple emails too from listeners that were like, we love Saturday Morning Cereal. We are so excited for it to get back to murders.
Oh, really?
People love murder.
People love the murder, man. Mm. It's comforting to some people. Mm-hmm.
It's comforting to me because I feel like, hey, Monroe, it could be worse.
So I decided to.
He could be murdered somewhere.
That's Monroe's pep talk in the morning. It could be worse. You could be murdered.
You could be murdered.
Like, that's what she goes with.
Oh, see, I look at myself and I'm like, man, you're going to get murdered with that haircut. John Flobied you and you want to die with a Floby haircut?
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare.
I know.
That's the actual crime
right here.
Not that I was murdered, but because I died wearing that hair. So I decided to go gross. This is going to be a rough one. People want it. People are asking for it. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But it's not like a traditional serial killer. This is one of my favorites. It's where we find a bunch of different stories, smash them all together, and I just horrify you over and over and over again.
Oh, good.
I found on Reddit while I was just perusing this list of operators. It's 911 operators. And they were asked, what was the most disturbing call you've ever taken?
Ooh. Oh, I bet that's so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
So here's the thing, you guys. I started reading these, and, like, there's still some stuff that I just won't do on Saturday Morning Cereal. Like, I get it. It's a crime podcast, but there's the layers, you know? And I just, I think that a lot of people listen to Saturday Morning Cereal because they like crime, but other shows take it really far.
Yeah.
But I got to give you a warning ahead of time. That these stories, if you are going to be triggered by domestic violence or if you're going to be triggered by crimes against children, probably not the episode for you.
John,
you should know ahead of time.
John,
you're stuck here. Sorry, bud.
It's been nice.
Man.
It's been nice to talk to you. I didn't get, like I said, I had to read through some really horrifying stuff to get to these. So I definitely tried to filter it. But if you want to, and I would urge you with caution, I'm including the link to that subreddit, the Reddit AMA, where all of those operators threw their stories in. So you can go there and read the gross ones. Mm. But here's where we start. in Mobile, Alabama. This is an unknown user on Reddit. They deleted their account, but the story is still there.
I have spent time in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah?
Have you?
I have. I did a radio bit out there once.
Oh, what's that like?
That is a, there's some swampland.
It is an interesting town.
It is a very interesting town.
Mobile, Alabama, that's the one where they put out the Santa every year. But he's his sleigh is being pulled by alligators.
Oh, that's right.
I'm pretty sure that's that.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Yeah.
It's great. Oh, you should see that. The alligators, instead of having antlers, there's little crabs on top of them.
Are you serious?
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
So
that's
cute.
Adorable.
Anyway, so that's the most adorable thing out of Mobile, Alabama, because you're never going to be able to unhear what I'm about to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
This person says, I was a 911 operator in Mobile the day Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. Mm. So here's the thing. So they're in Mobile, Alabama, but because it hit Mississippi and Louisiana really hard, their 911 dispatchers were overrun. And the overflow got so bad that Alabama started taking calls from like parts of Texas even. So there wasn't even really anything these dispatchers could do because there was just no services. Yeah. So this person says, I guess they started routing to us after all the 911 centers to the west were going down. Anyway, I got a call from a woman who said she was trapped in her house on Gordon Street between Florida and Law. I was confused at first because we have a Florida street in Mobile, and I didn't know where she was. After checking and double-checking, she said, I'm in New Orleans. So, like, the center of it.
Yeah.
I tried to route her to New Orleans 911 and New Orleans Fire, but no one could get through. She started screaming and said there was water coming up into the attic where she was. I told her to find something heavy and break the attic vent so that she could get out onto her roof, but the vent line, the vent was too small for her to crawl through. She sat down and started crying. Aww. I told her I would stay on the line for as long as she wanted me to. I stayed on the line and listened as she cried, prayed, cussed, prayed some more. A while later, I could hear her struggling to keep her head and phone above the water. Jeez. Then the phone went dead.
No.
To this
That's
day,
awful.
I don't know if she lived or died. I quit 911 3 months after Katrina.
Yeah, how can you not? Oh, that is the worst story
ever.
It was a horrifying
sad.
Sensual oh taste for you.
That's
we're gonna be
what
getting
you
into.
Do in this thing? You tell me a typhoid Mary story, and then you give me some of this?
People want to be horrified. I don't know what to do. I warned you it was going to be rough. Imagine the ones I didn't pick.
Right.
All right, this one's from Rainbow Bright 0091.
Oh, it's got to be good then.
Oh, yeah, it's cute.
Yes,
it's so
it's
cute.
Rainbow Bright.
Nope, don't fall into this trap, John, again.
I had a call for a brother who killed his other brother with a hammer.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. The call didn't come from one of the brothers.
No.
The call came from the victim's young daughter. She ran into another room, picked up the phone, and told us her daddy's eye fell out.
No, what?
No. Perp was apprehended. Daughter was taken by a relative.
These are the ones that you decided to share?
These are the mild ones?
What did you read ahead of time?
I can tell
He's
you.
Messed
no,
up,
it would
man.
Ruin the whole point of me sifting through them, wouldn't it? This one is from an unknown deleted account. I had a woman call in who was hiding in her closet and told me her ex-boyfriend was breaking into her house. She told me that they had a violent history, so I got her information and told her what she needed to do to stay safe. Leave the line open no matter what. While officers were en route, I heard him come through a window and start hitting her. He heard sirens coming and took off. Luckily, since she left the line open, I was able to let the officers know when he took off, and they caught him near the apartment.
Awesome.
Nice.
So she ended up surviving. Police got him pretty quick because this first responder thought so well. That thought so quickly.
Cool.
That is the thing about 911 operators. They have to stay cool. And they have to think so quickly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way to train someone for that. Like,
no.
You've got to be born able to handle these sort of things.
Yep.
And I am just not that person. I just break apart.
You've seen me in an earthquake.
Yes.
I just look around and stare.
No, I haven't even seen you in just an earthquake. So we get hit by a couple earthquakes here in Utah over the last couple months. But I haven't just seen Monroe react poorly to earthquakes. I've seen her react poorly to things that she thought were earthquakes.
Yeah, oh yeah. She just runs.
There was like a truck that was backing up, and it was a big one, so it sort of rumbled the floor a little. This girl ran so fast screaming, "Earthquake!" None of us knew what was happening. No, we couldn't feel anything. I'm like, you need to chill out, sister.
Oh,
gosh. So the 911 dispatcher goes on to say, so after they arrested the boyfriend and took him off, this 911 dispatcher says, I think the worst part was the 2 minutes after he left. I sat there listening to the woman weeping and I wasn't able to comfort her because her phone was too far away for her to hear me. You just got to sit there and listen to the aftermath for a while. Isn't that awful?
Yes. And you can't do it. You're helpless.
Yeah.
You're absolutely helpless.
That's so sad. Oh, these are terrible.
Yeah. I told you. All right. This one's 1979, New York City.
New York City! Yes! Thank you. We did
got
it!
You. I got you.
Apparently, this is just what we're doing now. We're doing Pace Picante commercials in the middle of Saturday morning cereal every week, it seems like.
It's the first time we've ever done it together.
Yeah, I know.
We're always like one person misses it every time.
So, Ms. Grant 908 on Reddit says, I got a call from a crying child, a little boy, saying his mom and dad were fighting, and his dad said he was going to throw his mom out the window, which I've threatened John with a bunch of times.
You say to me daily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I never mean it, is the thing. Well, I don't
think
so.
I've seen a few looks in your eyes.
I know. So the 911 dispatcher says, I could hear a terrible fight going on in the background. The woman was screaming, things were breaking, the man was yelling. The poor kid didn't know his address. We didn't have the technology for caller ID at the time because I would have used reverse telephone lookup to find his address.
Yeah.
A trace would have taken forever. Anyway, while I'm trying to get the address from the little kid, I hear a horrific scream and glass breaking.
No.
A few seconds later, the other operators in the room were getting calls about a woman laying in a courtyard who came out of a window.
Oh, my God.
Very sad. Worst of all is that I am sure someone else in this apartment building must have heard this fight going on, but no one called for help.
Yeah.
Or they called for help too late. Poor kid. Working 911 in the, New York during the 70s and 80s was a nightmare. The city had a very high crime rate and crap technology.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is that awful?
I got to tell you. I've always wanted to do like an Ask Me Anything with a 911 operator because I'm fascinated with how they do it.
I know, but then you start hearing it and you're like,
never mind, just kidding.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's a hard
I'll tell you what, though. We, a while back, this is years now, a while back, we did an AMA with the one of the... not mortician. What is his title? Medical examiners over at the medical examiner's office.
Fascinating.
Yeah. He does like pathology and does autopsies and stuff. I thought that was going to be pretty gruesome. Fascinating, mostly.
It was. It really was.
He definitely didn't share the details that I'm sharing here. But,
no.
One of the, I wonder if it's still somewhere buried deep in the podcast. We'll have to find it.
Yeah.
All right. This one is from AHGWG. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher these Reddit usernames. Well, Reddit usernames are supposed to kind of be anonymous is the thing, so they're always ridiculous, and you never know what they're talking about. But I still want to give credit where credit is due, because I didn't write any of these.
Sure.
So. It says, the one that sticks with me the most was a man who was paralyzed from the waist down. He had phoned us to tell us that he was midway through attempting to amputate his own legs.
Oh,
what?
Gosh.
So he's about midway through trying to cut his own legs off with a hacksaw and a Stanley knife. That's all he had.
And he can't feel it, so he's
starting
just
at the thigh,
going
too.
For
so
it.
He went high.
Why?
He even laid a newspaper down on the floor and everything in an attempt to get blood on to not get blood on the carpet. Naturally, not long into the call, he passed out due to blood loss. Grim stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh.
Well, so I know a lot of, I will never remember the name of it, but there's some condition where you believe in your mind that appendages that are on you are, they're someone else's. They don't belong on your body. And it gets to the point where you have this dysmorphia that's so bad that you take corrective actions and do it yourself. There are a lot of self-mutilation stories like that.
Dang.
Which I'm sure you could find on Reddit if you're so interested to read some self-amputation.
I'm not interested at all.
Why not?
It sounds terrible.
I don't know. It's pretty interesting if you ask me. This one's from Hun Hund. I had to stay on the phone with a young man for about 40 minutes, maybe a little more, who had a very disturbed man break into his home with a loaded shotgun pointed at his face the entire time. Okay,
nope.
This guy busts in. This is nuts. This guy busts in. He's obviously like on meth or something. Like he's all strung out. He's got a shotgun at the homeowner's head and tells him he wants to call, you better call the cops right now because I want to die suicide by cop. That was his goal. He wanted the cops to kill him. I now realize that I didn't get overly detailed about it in my other mentionings, but this young man urinated himself, almost threw up,
sure,
and was begging me to keep him alive. I haven't dreamt about it in a long time. It was several years ago, but it stuck with me. How could that not?
I had a friend who he served missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he had a gun pulled on him. And he says, you think you know how you're going to react if someone ever pulls a gun.
Sure.
Like in your mind, you're like, yeah, whatever.
No.
Yeah. He's like, when you stare down a barrel of a gun.
Because it's so easy. All they have to do, just one, it's so easy for
like
them.
Your mind goes blank and you just think, I don't want to die.
Well, that's okay. So I know I talk a lot about 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
We're going to do it anyway.
All right.
In Brazil, there was a woman named Carini, and she's with Paul. You know Carini and Paul.
Love Carini and Paul.
Yeah. Well,
I do.
Anyway.
I do.
We'll talk about that's a different podcast. But there's this part in the series. I don't know if you've gotten to this part yet. But Paul gets into an argument with Carini while they're in some park, and he runs off into the jungle. Just runs off, which is not safe. And Carini says this. She's like, there are cartels out there. There are violent gangsters. You can't just go out of the public areas. You will die.
Yeah.
So the producers are trying to track him down. Everyone's trying to get Paul back out of the jungle. And while they're all distracted, Carini gets robbed at machete point.
No.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's so on camera.
And it's raw. This is definitely not something that TLC staged, because TLC stages a lot of stuff. There's just no way they did this, because the camera comes swinging around as soon as they hear Carini's screams, and this guy with a machete starts demanding her phone and is waving a machete above his head. She gives him the phone, and then they realize they're on camera and take off. But just seeing on television a real machete going after a real woman was the most frightening thing I've ever seen. I'm like, if I can't handle watching it on TV, what am I going to do when it happens? You know?
Yep.
Horrifying. All right, this one is from Captured by Mab. My first day as a dispatcher. Hadn't even entered formal training yet. I was in the call center signing paperwork and taking my oath. Which, by the way, I didn't know that dispatchers took oaths.
I didn't realize that.
I mean, it's probably good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. As I was being walked through the call center, shown where my locker was, blah, 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 a 911 call came in. It was a suicide. The caller essentially just said, hi, my name is blah. I'm going to shoot myself at this location. I just want you to know so that no one else has to find my body. Then he turned his phone off and shot himself.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is before just taking the oath. This is before really any training where you can deal with that. So they go on to say, I was a little shaken, but I knew that these are the types of calls I would be dealing with, so I tried my best to shrug it off.
Sure.
Right? As I was driving home from orientation a few hours later, I noticed a group of people standing outside my friend's house. Now, he's in the Greek system at the university, so I assumed it was rush week, and it was rush week, so I figured he was at some sort of recruitment event. About 15 minutes later, I got a phone call that my friend had shot himself. He was the suicidal caller from earlier that day. I had to do a lot of soul searching to determine if I could do this job. But I went back the next day and every day for the next 5 years.
God bless them.
I mean, that's got to mess with you.
My old news director got called to a bad accident and went to go there and do the report. And it was his son who had passed away at the accident. Yeah.
Are we talking about the same person? Not here?
No, this was
because
a different
that happened here too.
Yeah, that happened here.
Reed. Did it really?
Yeah, Reed. Yeah,
his son.
At ABC4, back in the day, he was reporting on a story of a kid. I think he got his neck wrapped in like a swing chain.
That was his son.
And that was the son that he was reporting on. And he had no idea at the time. Reed is fat. There was a Sundance movie about him that I can't remember. He's fascinating. He's from the same town I am, in the middle of nowhere, Utah. And he moved here. His son died while he was reporting on his son's death. He later came out of the closet and he talked about how hard that was. Fascinating. What is his last name, Monroe? Do you remember?
I don't
remember. This was in Kansas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy that happened.
I know. Wow.
Well, I feel like that happens.
I mean,
how could you not if it's like a big story?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, though. I don't feel like a swing set death in someone's back, like that's an accident. You know, I don't know why they would report on that. It just happened.
Yeah.
Kismet.
Depends on the day.
All right, this one is uses_lightning. I was a 911 call taker dispatcher in Portland, Oregon, and I received a call from a strung out girl. Story was, she said her boyfriend had been doing meth for 3 days and owned a meth lab. Mm. She was screaming that he had wiggly purple worms in his arms and that there was blood everywhere.
Nice.
So, you know, she's on meth. Yeah. She's seeing big purpley worms. Mm-hmm. So you think you're just going to get there and be like, all right, everything's fine. You're just on meth. We're going to sober you up or whatever. That's what you think you're going to walk into, right?
Yeah.
That is not what they walked into. Turned out that they were his veins.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
He was out of his gourd on crystal meth and just started ripping his flesh off of his arms and ripping his veins out of his skin. Those were the big purple worms that she was seeing. I did not want to live my life on their night shift taking calls like that, so it wasn't long before I switched professions.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. He uses lightning.
Oh.
I know. That's a rough one. I don't know if this is true, but this is a story I got secondhand from an officer who was there, LAPD. There's a big PCP problem in LA County, apparently. Yep. I didn't know that. But PCP will mess you up. Mm-hmm. You're not a person anymore. You're a zombie.
Yeah.
So you don't feel pain or anything. Apparently, this guy got cornered by LAPD, and he was on PCP and, you know, out of his mind, ripped his own arm off and hit an officer with it. Is that nuts?
Well, that's a story you tell your kids.
It's a, oh, absolutely. It's and nuts. That's why you don't do drugs. So anyway, I'm just saying, I don't think it's out of the question that he actually did just tear his own skin off and pull his veins out.
Ugh,
you know.
Gross.
This one's really cute. Her username is Turkey Shoes, and that's going to be the last. This is going to be cute.
Okay.
So, Turkey Shoes. Thank you, user. My mom was a 911 dispatcher in the early 90s. She was working one year on Halloween night around 10 or 11 p.m., she had a call come in that a couple guys were driving around town with a dummy or something dragging behind their truck.
Oh, no.
Oh, do you think you know where this is going?
Yeah.
Why? Anyway. The dummy was falling apart and pieces of clothing and plastic were being torn off and scattered all around the city. Being Halloween, it seemed like a prank, but she had the patrol car try to find them and stop the truck anyway. As time goes by, more and more people start calling in about it. Eventually, the patrol car caught up with the truck and it turns out that it was a real person.
Yeah.
The guys had gone to the store earlier. When they left, it turned out they had backed into someone whose clothes got caught on the rear bumper. And they had no idea.
They didn't know?
They didn't drag him. They had no idea he was back there.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the clothes got caught on the rear bumper. The two guys never even knew that they were dragging a human being around for miles. The man had passed away, and those pieces of clothing scattered around town was his clothing, flesh, and body parts. Still gives me chills. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure. All right, this one is from a separate thread, but the thread is referenced in the 911 calls. This is an actual AMA with just one dispatcher.
Okay.
The dispatcher's name is 2 Minutes in the Box. It had already been a relatively quiet night up until that point, when out of nowhere, all of the phones started to ring at once. This was not unusual, as most public emergencies yield several calls for the same incident. Right? You'd hope that if someone sees something, they'll just call and not count on everyone else doing it, because we've talked in the past about how no one will do anything. So if you see something, you should just say something real quick. It turns out there was an active shooter at a gentleman's club in our area, and most of the callers were hostages in the gentleman's club.
Huh.
My caller had hidden himself in a back room and eventually, against my instructions, opened the door to check on the situation. He was shot and died right there on the phone with me.
No.
Is that messed up?
Yes.
How do you do that? Like, how do you deal with that forever?
Because
at some point,
I wouldn't know.
I mean, I'm not a dispatcher, but I feel like at some point you start blaming yourself for some of these things.
I think that's why when there's certain stories out there where you hear them be so cold to people, it's because after a certain amount of time of these, there's no way. For example, the case up in Washington.
Josh Powell.
Yeah.
Ooh. So did you know, I found this out later. I think it might have been in the cold podcast.
It was in the podcast.
How that guy, he was. So I heard that when I had one call early in the cold podcast. And I was like, that guy is a D-bag. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that. They better have fired him, because I didn't know anything about that. Because if you don't know, the social worker gets to Josh Powell's house, drops the kids off. He locks her out and she's begging, pleading for someone to come let her in because she smells gas, and that's when he blew the house up with him and the kids inside. So this dispatcher's just like, all right, lady, whatever, whatever. Oh, he's going to blow a whole house up?
Yeah, being very condescending.
Yeah, so condescending. Like, okay, we get it. And listen, you don't talk that way to citizens, but if a social worker is telling you to be concerned, you should really be concerned. Yeah. So he has gone on to actually work. He does empathy classes, basically, for 911 operators and be like, listen, it's easy to get hardened here. You have to be. You have to have a certain wall. But these people are terrified, and you have to take them seriously.
Yeah.
So treat every call as if it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Even if it's silly, like, my neighbor was on my lawn or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it.
Yep.
2 minutes in the box went on to say, so someone asked, what was your longest call? And I thought this was fascinating. It will break your heart. My longest call was probably the time I received a call from a woman basically just calling me mom. So this woman calls up, oh, hey, mom, what's going on? I knew something was wrong, and she hadn't just dialed the wrong number because she kept talking about her birthday despite my questions. Weird, I know, but you could just sort of tell when something isn't right. Yeah. I could hear her boyfriend telling her they needed to go and stayed on the phone asking her random questions I could think of to make it sound like she was really on the phone with her mom, then asking her more pertinent questions with strictly yes or no answers. So this woman was obviously in a dangerous situation with her boyfriend. Yeah. If she were to leave, there's a good chance that she was going to die.
Yeah.
So she called 911. Hey, mom, I was just wondering about this thing. Yeah, mom, it's my birthday coming up. Yeah, what do you have planned for my birthday and stuff like that? Because then the operator's like, oh, no, something's going on. Eventually, I determined her location down to the street, but she was outside with her boyfriend and the police couldn't find her. On a hunch, I asked if she was smoking a cigarette and she said yes. I told her to ash it really high and away from her body and had my coworker relay that information to the town's dispatch. The patrol officer saw the light from this and the smoke from the cigarette found her. Afterward, I learned that she had been in a bad domestic altercation and was afraid for her life. She was sent home safely, and the man was taken into custody.
Gosh.
That is some fast thinking.
That's
he throw a
crazy.
Cigarette in the air? I mean, again, special breed of people who could do this.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of something like that. All right. Ooh, this one's pretty... I think we can do one more.
Okay.
I'm torn between two of them. I think I'm going to do... I'm going to do this one. Okay. This is from a rather odd one. Reddit user, a rather odd one. I answered a call from a guy who was screaming about how the relative of his that he found outside was bleeding from the head and was laying on the ground. It was a call that was way out there in the boondocks. So I was going to be on the line with this guy for a long time. It wasn't helping that he was freaking out and yelling at me nearly the entire time. When I was going through questions with him about the patient's condition, he just started yelling, "He's bleeding from the head, send help." We already had an ambulance and police and fire on the way. Suddenly during the assessment, he yells, "He's not breathing." At that point, I do my best to guide him through CPR. He gets the patient breathing again after about 300 compressions, which that's got to feel good if you can actually, you know, keep him stable.
Yeah.
Once that happened, I immediately went into control bleeding protocol, asked him to get a dry, clean towel or cloth to apply it to the wound. The guy would not do it. At this point, he was an emotional wreck and didn't want to leave him no matter how much I tried to talk to him and reason with him. He was practically begging the guy to get something to control his bleeding. He kept saying over and over and over again that he didn't want to leave him. After a while, the police showed up on the scene first. I asked him if they were there, and he said yes. Just before I was about to hang up and let the police handle it, he heard an officer say, "Sir, I need you to step away from that gun on the ground." Ooh,
oh my
spooky.
Gosh.
I can't do
this. Okay. Okay.
No. No,
so,
okay.
Turns out, though, so that you think, oh God, he killed him. He killed him, and that's why he wouldn't run and get a towel or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He had shot himself.
Oh.
So he found him after he had a suicide attempt, and that's what ended up happening. Now,
that's not where my mind went, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So after he says, "Sir, I need you to step away from that gun," the phone clicks. So until he finds out it's a suicide later that night, he thinks that he was coaching the murderer through CPR. Isn't that so spooky?
Oh, my God.
I have literal goosebumps from that one. That one's a scary one.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a long string of horrors known as 911 calls. Like I said, I'm going to put the link to the full thread in the description of this podcast, but only look at it, you know, if you're prepared.
If you could get through
these. Because they get worse than that.
Me neither.
Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Eh, you'll be fine.
Monster.
You'll sleep just fine.
No, I won't.
Till I start knocking on your window.